I'm thankful for the presence of the Holy Ghost that we feel in this service. Amen. Just because the preacher got up behind the pulpit doesn't mean that the Holy Ghost can stop moving. Amen. Amen. Somebody in this place needs to be reminded that just because you're in the bottom of a pit doesn't mean that you're outside of God. Amen. You read about Joseph there in Genesis chapter 37. And Joseph, he had two dreams. He had a dream of the sheaves and how he went into the field with his brothers, and they were binding sheaves together, and his sheave arose, and then his brother's sheaves came and gave obeisance, or simply they gave reverence unto his sheaf. And later on, he has a dream about the moon and the stars and the sun and how they all came and worshiped him. And he tells it to his brothers, and we all know the story. Everybody in here probably has heard this story one time or another, either through Sunday school or through preaching. We understand what happened. His brothers hated him. Amen. The story of Joseph, who was favored by his father, hated by his brothers, amen, and sold into slavery. Amen. And so we read and understand in this chapter here in Genesis chapter 37 how they take him and they beat him and they throw him into a pit. Amen. And could you imagine being Joseph sitting there in the bottom of that pit thinking to himself, this is not exactly how I thought my life was supposed to go. This isn't the dream in which I had. This is not, and I believe he had dreams from God. This is not the dream that I had intended for my life. This is not the route in which I thought God was going to bring me down. Amen. And I believe that there are some people that are gathered in this place here tonight that are thinking to themselves, this is not exactly how I thought my life was going to go. Amen. Can anybody wave at me and say, Brother Austin, I'm in this situation right now. Not too long ago, I was in this situation. Not too long ago. There's been a couple times in my life where I've gone and looked at myself and been like, this is not the road that I thought I was going to go down. I didn't expect myself to be down here in the bottom of a pit. Amen. But it wasn't until he arrived over in Egypt that he understood. Amen. Through the trials of his life, even though he was in a pit, he was still in God's sovereign will. Hallelujah. Amen. God was molding him and creating him into the man that he wanted to be to one day lead a nation. Amen. To go through and have a harvest and to be able to get food unto his brothers. And finally, as he stood there on that day, his brothers and come and gave him obeisance. Or simply what happened is they came and gave him reverence. Amen. What I'm trying to say is this, friend. We might not understand why you're in the bottom of a pit right now. Amen. Right now we see through a glass darkly, but then one of these days we will understand why we're going through the trial of our life. Amen. I come to remind somebody, don't quit while you're in the pit. Amen. I mean, that's not what the Lord has laid on my heart tonight, but I just want somebody to understand that just because you're in the bottom of a pit doesn't mean that you're outside of the will of God. You can still be in the bottom of a pit and be in God's will, and God have you exactly where he wants you to be. Amen. I don't know about you, friend, but I'd rather be smack in the middle of a pit in the middle of God's will than to be in a palace somewhere and been doing other things of my own will. Amen. I'd rather be in the presence of God in the hardest time of my life than be rejoicing in the presence of riches and glory and things of this world. I'd rather be in the presence of my God in the bottom of a pit than to be in the places of this world. Amen. I feel like the Lord has laid something on my heart for tonight. Amen. Not often do I get to teach. Amen. And I feel, amen, like the Lord has laid this lesson, if you would, on my heart. I don't plan to be long. I'm going to try to make this kind of quick. Amen. We're going to be talking about this idea of fear tonight. And I want to be careful in a sense, because fear is a topic that people get a little hairy about. It's very easy to offend somebody. Amen. And I promise you, I'm not here to offend anybody. Amen. At all. But tonight we're going to take some time and we're going to talk about this topic of fear. And whether we want to admit it or not, everybody in here struggles or has struggled with this issue of fear in some sort of fashion, be it stress, anxiety, worry, unhealthy anticipation, etc. We have all been stressed over finances. We've all had a situation where we could not control. Amen. We've all made mistakes at work and worried about the outcome that was going to happen. We have all had situations involving our children or our spouses
that has led us to have anxiety or stress over what was going on. Now, to what degree differs from person to person? Amen. And so I want us to be aware of what is going on in our society. Instead of resisting these issues of fear, depression, anxiety, and stress, we will just medicate any individual who is not mentally strong enough to defend against those things. These issues obviously differ in each and every individual. Now, I understand that there are legitimate cases of chemical imbalances and hormonal imbalances. I was talking to our pastor yesterday about it, and I understand that there is a legitimate cause, and sometimes it does take an assistance from a doctor maybe to get you back on track, but I do not believe that if you are a child of God that you need to be controlled by these substances and have these substances control your life. Amen. But we are living in a society today specifically where we are a nation that is being ran by fear. Yes, sir. Can you say amen? This COVID-19 has put America in an alternate reality where we are being led like sheep to the slaughter, and the church is of no exception. Amen. There are still churches that are being completely controlled over fear, over the fear that has been instilled in them from the media and from social pressure. Now, I want to stop right here and say this. I believe in being precautious and being prepared. I believe that there is a time and place where, you know, with this COVID-19 going around, if you're sick, you need to stay home. That's just common sense. I believe that if you're dealing with these things, that you need to be prepared and you need to be precautious. But we have to understand that there is a fine line between being precautious and having paranoia. Amen. And being scared of what is going on. Let me go ahead and say this, friend. God never intended for his church to live in fear. Amen. God has never intended for his church to live in fear. God's will is for us to not be ran by fear or overshadowed by fear. Now, I want us to understand that there are three types of fear that are recognized by psychologists. We're going to get into scripture here in a little while. I'm just going to set a little foundation here, and then we're going to get into the teaching. Amen. There are three types of fear that is recognized by psychologists. There are a lot of fears and phobias, and they can all be categorized into one of these types of fears, okay? Types of fears. There is a rational fear. A rational fear occurs when there is a real imminent threat. Amen. Let's give an example. This would happen if you were going on a walk through your neighborhood and all of a sudden a dog came running after you. There is a very real threat that is opposing you. Amen. How many people has ever been chased down by a dog? I have. Amen. That is a very scary thing to happen. Amen. That is a rational fear, to have a dog coming running after you. How many people has ever run into a situation where there was somebody that was acting irate and they were acting out towards you? That's a very real situation that you can be afraid of. Amen. All of a sudden, amen, you have a heightened senses, and this is where your fight or flight senses would kick in. And I'm sure we could go down a list of these types of situations, and I believe that we have all faced these types of weights. Situations and with some sort of fashion. Amen. I'm reminded of a situation that happened to me. I was stopping off to get propane at 11 o'clock at night in Galloway. Amen. In Obetz, Ohio. Amen. And if you've ever been around Brother Mark's church, it's a really nice area right there at Brother Mark Hatfield's church. Amen. But as soon as you go down the road, it's extremely ghetto. Amen. And that's exactly where I was. And I go to the gas station and I had to get some propane, and there are some situations that went on there that made it to where I was outside by myself with the keys to the whole property trying to get my own propane. And all of a sudden, this guy comes up to me and tries to take the keys. I'm going to be honest with you. It kind of scared me a little bit. Amen. Not for any reason except for the fact that I didn't know what was going to happen. I wasn't sure what was going to transpire. I was ready to rock and roll if I needed to. But in all reality, I didn't really want to. Amen. That is a rational fear. Amen. And then we have this thing called primal fear. Primal fear is defined as an innate fear that is programmed into our brains. Now, I don't particularly love the vocabulary that is used here, but I haven't been able to find different vocabulary, so we're just going to use these. Amen. There are fears that we are indeed born with. Amen. We also have fears from experiences and from culture and society that is around us. These fears can and will become second nature unto us. Amen. We have to understand that they are, number one, our primal fears that we are born with. And then there's fears that will come unto us by experience, by our culture, and by society around us. And these second ones, they will become second nature unto us. Let's give an example. We are born with the fear of loud noises and falling. Every single one of us are born with this fear, the fear of loud noises and falling. Nothing will get the biggest, toughest guy in the room to move quicker than a loud noise that he was not expecting. Amen. You walk up and make a loud popping noise around the biggest guy in the room and he wasn't expecting. I promise you, you'll get him to move a little bit. Amen. And at the same time, you can take that same guy, and if you're to watch him as he's walking, all of a sudden he goes to start to fall. He will do everything in his power to stop himself from falling. And the reason for that is because we are born with this natural fear of loud noises and with the natural fear of falling. Amen. I see this with my son Nolan. A loud noise will cause his eyes to dilate, and he will even lower his breathing and try to figure out exactly what is going on. Now, he don't cry like Finley does. Amen. Whenever I scare Finley, amen. I don't often try to scare Nolan just because he's such a small baby. Amen. But at the same time, I do realize and understand that loud noises causes him to be a little afraid. At the same time, I've realized, and I find this to be funny, when I rip his blanket off of him really quick, it feels like to him like he's falling. And all of a sudden, he stretches out his hands and looks at me like, what in the world is going on? The reason being is because he was born with the fear of falling. Amen. Now, I want you to think about this. Why are we so afraid of snakes and spiders? Now, there's a lot of people that will come up to me later and be like, I believe it's a spiritual matter because we're afraid of snakes because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. And I'm not going to get into all that tonight. So let me just ask you this question. Why are we so scared of spiders? Has anybody in here had an awful experience with spiders? Wave at me. I mean, absolutely awful. We had like two people in here that raised their hand and said I had an awful experience with spiders, but most of us have really never had a bad experience with one of these species, but yet we have grown up in a society where spiders and snakes are something to be feared. Amen. And obviously there are some of us who are not fearful. There are some of us who are less fearful than others. There are some of us that are absolutely terrified of spiders, in which you will probably wreck your car trying to kill one if there's one in your vehicle. Amen. But you have to understand that this is not a fear that we are born with, but it's because it's the society in which we are living in. We look at a spider and all of a sudden we get scared for a second, all because this is a fear that is programmed into us and it's second nature. Now, I want to add right here that these two fears here are healthy and unavoidable. There's nothing you can do about it. Amen. If all of a sudden you started to get into a tussle down at your local Walmart because some dude came up to you and started aggressing you, there's a legitimate fear that is there because there's a danger that is before you. You can't stop that. It's going to happen. Your heart rate's going to rise. Your eyes are going to dilate, and you're going to either be ready to fight or to flight. Amen. That's exactly what's going to happen. It's completely unavoidable. The same thing with the fears that you were born with. But I want to talk about the third fear that psychologists recognize, and it is this fear of irrational fear. Irrational fears are fears that do not make logical sense, and they can vary greatly from person to person. Examples: these fears are the fears that plague our minds when we are in an uncertain situation. That boss calls you up and says, hey, I need to talk to you in my office. And all of a sudden, your mind's flocked by thoughts. Man, what did I do? Oh, he found out about that, didn't he? These are irrational fears. You have no idea what he's going to talk about. You have no idea that here in just a couple minutes, he's going to be talking to you about giving you a raise. Amen. But in all reality, we have irrational fears. Amen. We see this fear with COVID-19. And I want to say, I believe in being precautious. And I believe that if you have some underlying health conditions, and if you have some different things that are going, or you work in a health department where there are people that you're working with that have underlying health conditions, I believe that you need to be precautious. I'm not going to sit here and say that I agree or disagree with vaccines. If you want to get vaccinated, go ahead and get vaccinated. If you want to wear a mask, go ahead and wear a mask. I'm not going to get political about that. But there's a very real fear that we have and that we see that is being instilled in people, where people are triple vaccinated and wearing three masks as they're driving down the road absolutely by themselves with no one else in the car. That is an absolute irrational fear. Why in the world are we doing that? Amen. I was listening to a spokesperson one time, and he was talking about how one time he was taking a trip and he was walking through the woods, and all of a sudden he found this woman that was hiking through the woods. She was by herself. He seen nobody in sight for miles, and all of a sudden he stumbled over this woman, and this woman was wearing a mask in the middle of the woods. Amen. Possibly one of the best places for you to receive oxygen. Fear, friends. Fear. Amen. Irrational fear. I believe that we can say that there might be people in this very church who have dealt with or who are actively dealing with irrational fears. Fear of an outcome at work, fear of a financial stability, fear that people are talking about you behind your back, constantly defending what you're doing because you think no one supports you. You get off that phone call from your boss, like I said before, where he says, I need to speak to you in my office. And all of a sudden you start thinking, oh no, what's she gonna talk about? And now you've conjured up in your mind some type of make-believe scenario, and you start stressing and sweating, and none of these fears are rational. They're not rational. Wave at me if you've ever had irrational fears. Come on now, be honest. Going through a situation, all of a sudden your mind's just going like, oh no, this can happen, and this can happen, and this can happen. Not too long ago, I had some irrational fears cross my mind. I'm going to lose my son. This is going to happen. This is how my life's going to be. We're going to have to stop evangelizing, come off the road, because he's disabled. There's different things that were going through. All these different things were going through my mind. Irrational fears. These fears make no sense at all. There's no reason why we should be coming up with these fears. These fears are given to us by our own minds. Amen. So what is fear? Fear is a natural, powerful, and primitive human emotion. It involves a universal biochemical response as well as high individual emotional response. Now, I want us to understand that fear is both physical and emotional at the same time. If someone was to jump out and startle you, how you would react to them would both be physical and emotional. The physical is you backing up or covering your face, and the emotion would be the expression of your face or the sounds, the crazy squealy sounds that you would make if someone jumped out and scared you. And then we have to understand that anxiety is also emotional and physical as well. You have the emotional ups and downs. You're on an emotional roller coaster, which in turn can affect you physically. You begin to either lose your appetite and not eat, or all of a sudden you start to eat because you're stress eating. Amen. You down that whole gallon of ice cream by yourself. That is a physical aspect. Amen. I also want to make a point that even though we do not connect them on a daily basis, stress, anxiety, worry, doubt, and even some depression all run in correlation with fear. All of these issues in their deepest form is simply fear just colored in a different lighting. Now tonight we're going to talk about two fears or two types of fears that we are warned and even encouraged to steer away from. One of these are going to be more of a physical aspect of fear, and the other one will be more of a in your head or emotional or a mental aspect of fear. But before we go into this, I want us to understand that God does not tell us in Scripture to not have rational fears. And nowhere in Scripture will you find that God comes and says you should not be scared of rational fears. The only time that I see that he says anything about rational fears is when he appears before somebody and he says, it is I, be not afraid. This is the same idea that you would have when you come home from work and she knows you're going to get home at 5 o'clock every day, and you open up the door and you say, hey babe, I'm home, just so she knows that you're there. Amen. This is the same exact idea, that they're alarmed that you are, that they're not alarmed that you are there. Amen. But aside from this, whenever God talks about fear, or whenever the Bible talks about fear, it is typically warning us against fear, specifically irrational fears. Now, I want us to understand that there are two things that we're going to talk about tonight. Number one, we're going to talk about sudden fear. Amen. And number two, we're going to talk about the spirit of fear. Now, I want us to understand that God specifically deals with irrational fears. Let's read in Proverbs 3, 24 through 26. If you got your Bible, go ahead and open up there. Proverbs 3, verses 24 through 26.
Brother Derek, if you would read that when you got it. Proverbs 3, 24 through 26.
When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken.
Amen. So we understand, and I'm just going to go ahead and do this because this is how I've always taught. I typically get somebody in the congregation to read, and then I'll read it myself. Amen. It says, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, when thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. He says, be not afraid of sudden fear. Now, if you're to read that, that kind of sounds like an odd statement to make. Solomon's writing, and he says, hey, man, just don't fear fear. That doesn't really make any sense at all. But we have to understand that Solomon is using the same terminology that he uses when he says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That word fear there that is used when it says the fear of the Lord means to give reverence or to give honor, to give place to. And so what he is saying is, he's saying, do not give reverence to sudden fear. Don't pay it no mind. Don't even acknowledge that it is even there. Amen. And he continues on to say, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes. And when I first read that, I thought that it was talking about the desolation or the destruction of the wicked or the people who were wicked when God would come and send his judgment on those people. And this is one way that it could be taken about how, you know, when we read that there, the desolation of the wicked. And as I read that, I thought that it was God's judgment towards the wicked, but in all reality, and that could be one way of that being taken. But through studying this out, I came to understand that this could also be saying the desolation of the wicked. It is their destruction. It is their desolation that they are causing. They are the ones that are causing the destruction. A different translation would be more revealing of the second point. The way that is worded would make it seem to lean towards this idea of it is their desolation that they are causing. Amen. This is the same idea that is recorded in Proverbs 1 and 16. It says, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Amen. I don't know about you, friend, but I'd be able to say tonight that we're living in a time where there's the desolation of the wicked and they are running rampant through our country. And if we're not careful, we can look at this world and look at what is going on in our government, look at what's going on in our society, look at what's going on in our sicknesses, and we can see the things that are happening. We can see the turmoils of this world, and we can see the corruption of this world. Amen. And we can get caught up in sudden fear. Amen. How many people has ever experienced that? All of a sudden, you start looking at what's going on around you. All of a sudden, your mind is overwhelmed by what is happening, by those things that are around you. Amen. But we've got to understand that here in Scripture, specifically speaking, he says, do not even pay it no mind. Don't even think about it. Don't even give it respect. Don't even look at it and give it reverence. Don't be caught up in sudden fear. Amen. We don't need to look at the state of America and get caught up in sudden fear. We don't need to pay it any mind. We don't need to give it any reverence and to give into fear. Amen. I know and understand that there are churches that are caught up in this fear-driven society. Amen. But we've got to understand that we cannot be afraid of sudden fear. Now, how do we stay away from sudden fear? There are a few places here in this chapter, in Proverbs chapter 3, that we find the answers to this question. Let's go ahead and read Proverbs chapter 3, verses 19 through 24. Brother Shane, do you have that? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 19 through, let's do 19 through 23. Go ahead and read that, please.
The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding he hath established the heavens. By his knowledge the earth are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, and grace unto thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble.
Amen. Verses 19 to 23, it says, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down dew. My son, let them depart
let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall thou be life to thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. Amen. He tells us, he says, it's by God's wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Let these things not depart from your eyes. They shall be life unto your soul and grace about thy neck. And when you walk, you shall walk in your way safely, and your foot shall not stumble. Amen. We've got to keep wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and then our ways will be walking in safely. Amen. If we don't pay attention to fear, if we don't pay attention to the desolation of this world when it comes, God will be our confidence, and He will be our increase. He will be our bounty if we just hold to His wisdom and His knowledge and His understanding. Amen. Listen to the instruction and the outcome when we read this chapter through from verses 19 through 26. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath He established the heavens. By His knowledge the depths are broken up, and clouds drop down the dew. My son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall thou be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, when thou shalt lie down, thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Amen. We've got to understand that when He is writing this here, He is talking to us and giving us instruction on how we can walk without having sudden fear. He goes through and He says, look, you need to have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And He says, and then and only then are we able to walk in the safety of the Lord. And He goes on to tell us that when we lie down, we shall not be afraid. How many times has your stress or your aggravation or the fear of life come against you and you weren't able to sleep? Amen. If you've got your mind on these things, He says, you shall sleep and your sleep shall be sweet. Amen. He goes on to tell us, He says, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh, for the Lord shall be thy confidence. Amen. We've got to understand that word confidence that is used there simply just means He shall be our increase, or He shall be our supplier. Amen. That leads me over to the scripture where He says, I was once young, but now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Amen. And we've got to come to the conclusion, is God sitting on the throne, or is He not? Is He the God of the universe, or is He not? Is He the King of kings and the Lord of lords, or is He not? Amen. And when we lean on His understanding and on His knowledge and on His wisdom, we can walk without fear. Amen. We do not need to fear. If we hold on to wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, our foot shall not stumble, and our sleep shall be sweet. God will be our confidence. Amen. Amen. Secondly, let's talk about the spirit of fear. There's another aspect of fear that the Bible talks to us about in Scripture, and it is this spirit of fear. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Brother Matt, if you got that, go ahead and read it for me. No, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Amen. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, in understanding this text, the placement of this verse, this is a very crucial time for Timothy. Timothy is facing some adversity here. He is being challenged with carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ to a heathenistic world with opposition and with false teachers. He's also going into this world trying to preach the gospel without necessarily his spiritual father in order to help him and to guide him. We understand that when we read this here that Paul is writing this letter from inside of a prison cell, and Paul would be considered Timothy's spiritual father. And now Paul is in prison facing his death, and this is the last letter that Timothy will ever receive from Paul. And Timothy was used to having Paul to rely on. Amen. And now he's being faced with the reality that he might not have Paul much longer. Amen. As I was going through and studying this out and trying to get a deeper understanding of what Timothy must have been going through, we have to understand that the Bible doesn't specifically tell us everything that he was going through. But the way that Paul addresses Timothy, we can understand that he was facing opposition. He was facing opposition. He was facing a lack of faith, because you can see this here, and we'll get into this here in just a little bit. Amen. But Paul reminds him about his faith. And then we can read a little bit later on that Paul even talks about how Paul himself has gone and fought the fight, and he has kept the faith, and he is going on to receive his reward. And so simply we can understand that Timothy was going through a lot here when we read this here. Amen. But obviously Timothy's faith was dwindling. Paul starts out immediately encouraging Timothy and reminding him of his faith. He says in 2 Timothy 1 and 5, he says, "When I call to remembrance thy unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded in thee also." Paul is reminding Timothy of Timothy's faith. He says, "I remember the unfeigned faith," or the sincere faith, "of your grandmother and your mother." Amen. "And I see that it is in you as well." So we understand from reading this that somewhere Timothy started to have fear grip his mind. And I don't know how it happened. I don't know exactly where it happened, what caused him to have fear come over his mind, whether it was everything rushing to his mind and storming his mind and plaguing his mind. But somehow Timothy started to have a mind that was not sound. Amen. So he goes on and he writes to them and he says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Amen. So somewhere Timothy started to live in an alternate reality where he was conjuring up some thoughts in his mind that were not real. Amen. What he was facing was reality, but how he viewed it made it to where he didn't have a sound mind. Now, I want us to understand tonight that there are some very hard things that we will go through in our lives. Sometimes we will lose those spiritual fathers. Sometimes we're going to face adversity. Sometimes our family is going to end up in a hospital or end up sick. Amen. But the way that we view the situation will determine if we have our minds in the right spot. Amen. All of a sudden, when they give you that phone call, "Hey, we're going to keep your kid over in the hospital just another day." And all of a sudden, you're not just viewing it as, "Hey, they just want to do some extra curricular, looking at them, checking them out, seeing how they're doing." All of a sudden, your mind is overran by these things. And you're saying, "Oh my gosh, they're going to die. I'm not going to have them any longer. I've got to go ahead and set up something so we can plan their funeral." That, my friend, is something wrong. You are not thinking soundly in your mind. Amen. But we've got to understand that as he is writing this here, there's a spiritual aspect and a physical aspect of well. So God, or Paul, is writing and he says, "He has not given us the spirit of fear," amen, "but of power and of love." That comes from the Holy Ghost. That comes from our hearts being right with God. Amen. And he talks to us. He says, "He's not given us the spirit of fear." Now, I understand that there are some legitimate situations that we can go through where the devil can come and oppress our minds and make it to where we are fearful. But at the same time, there are people that live their lives with their minds constantly in fear. And we understand from reading and going through this text, at the same time, he could be talking about Timothy's mind. He could be going through and saying, "Look, he's not giving you the mind of fear, but he's giving you a sound mind." That is the physical aspect of this verse here. Amen. Paul writes and tells Timothy that God is not the one who has given us the spirit of fear, but God gives us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Paul tells Timothy, reminds him of his calling and responsibility to bear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then Paul gives Timothy some instruction to get him back on track. So we're dealing with two types of fears. We're dealing with sudden fear. That is fear that will just overwhelm you in a situation that is going on and your mind is just flocked by those things that's happening in your life. And then He goes on to talk about the spirit of fear, or the mind of fear, or having a mind full of fear, or a spirit that comes and makes us to have fear. Amen. And we've got to understand that God specifically warns against us involving ourselves in these things. One on one hand is a physical aspect. I see what is going on around me. I heard what was happening in the hospital. I know I got the phone call. That is a physical aspect. And all of a sudden our heart can be gripped by fear, but the Bible says to be not afraid of sudden fear. Don't give it any reverence. But at the same time, he goes on to say to not have the mind of fear. Amen. He goes on to talk about it. This is to understand, or we have to understand, that when somebody lives in fear, they are living in an alternate reality. They're not with us. There are pastors that are living in fear. There are lay ministers that are living in fear. There are deacons that are living in fear. There are people a part of the congregation that are living in fear, and their minds are being ran by fear. They're not living in reality. They're thinking, well, what if this situation happens? And what if that happens? And what if this happens? And what if that happens? Let me tell you, friend, this is not how God intended for it to be. Amen. We've got to get our minds back on track. Now, Paul gives Timothy some instruction to get back on track. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 14. Let's get Brother Derek to read that one. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 14.
Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as a prisoner. Be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, that saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to our own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and apostle, which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, Christ. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us.
Amen. So Paul gives Timothy some instruction to get back on track. We see here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 11, Paul is reminding Timothy of his calling and his responsibility using himself. He's saying, I was not called of man, amen, but I was called by Jesus Christ. This is not according to works, but it's done by his purpose and his grace given to us by Christ before the world began, amen. He says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher unto the Gentiles. This is Paul's reminder to Timothy of his calling and responsibility. Then we read down in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, of the instruction that he gives unto Timothy. He says, For the which cause I have also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, and faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Amen. One commentator said it like this: faithfulness in maintaining the faith is closely connected with the maintenance of sound words. He was saying, don't let your mind be infiltrated by what is happening around you. Don't let your mind be boggled down and infiltrated by the spirit of fear. Remember to keep the faith. Keep your mind on sound words. Amen. And so we've got to understand, when all of a sudden your mind is overwhelmed by fear, we need to start thinking of sound words. Now, Brother Austin, that's kind of easy for you to say, but at the same time, I don't know about you, friend, but whenever I go through hardship, and whenever I start quoting scripture, all of a sudden that hardship don't seem hard no more. So when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock, which is higher than I. I don't know how many times throughout my life, when fear has came and gripped my heart, that I've had to say that. When my heart is overwhelmed, overwhelmed, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock which is higher than I. Amen. Over in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, and verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen. The problem is as we go throughout our lives and all of a sudden this fear starts infiltrating our minds and we're operating in fear and we start living in an alternate reality, the problem is we don't keep our minds upon the things in which Scripture tells us to keep our minds on. Amen. Let me tell you, friend, if we're going to keep our minds or think on these things which are honest, we can't believe the lies that are being infiltrated into our mind. Can you say amen? If we're going to think on things that are pure, we can't think on those things that are wrong and degraded in our minds. If we're going to think on things that are lovely, we can't think of the tragedy that is going on right before our very eyes. What I'm trying to say is this, friend. If we keep our minds and our hearts on sound words, then we will be able to overcome the spirit of fear. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I'm going to be completely honest with you tonight, and you may fall out with me, friend, but we were living in a society in which fear and depression, stress, and anxiety is almost welcomed, and everybody's almost being praised for the fact that they're on medication. But at the same time, we've got to understand that this is not how God intended for it to be. The Bible tells us over in Isaiah 26 and 3, that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. Amen. If you are being overran by fear, if you are being overran by depression, if you are being overran by stress and anxiety, it's because your mind is not upon the word of God. Paul was telling Timothy, he says, you're not thinking correctly. Stop thinking on those things. Stop going down that road. Stop looking at the situations. Yes, I might die and you might not have me anymore. Yes, you're going to be facing some opposition, but we have been called to do this, and this is your responsibility. Think on sound words. Think on sound words. You don't know how many people that I've talked to, ministering to them through the ladder there in Ohio, where they come up and just start talking about the things that they're afraid of. And I literally have told them, hey, that's not real. Stop it. But I just can't. I don't know. You're letting your mind run rampant through your fears. You're letting your mind run rampant through your anxiety. I've had own conversations with my own mom, talking to her when I was younger, when she was on anxiety medication, depression medication. I've told her the things that are going through your mind are not legitimate. The situations that you're going through, yes, they may be real. And yes, they very well can affect you. And yes, they can really cause you to have some worry in your life. But we cannot live in these things. We cannot operate in these things. We cannot live in an alternate reality. We've got to come out and say, I will think on sound words, and I will get my mind straight. Straight. We're medicating things that we don't need to medicate. We're putting people in mental hospitals that we don't need to be doing. We're giving Adderall to little kids because they're too hyper. Send them outside. Let them play. Let them wear themselves out. Bring them back inside. Put them down in bed. Discipline their tails. Let's go to bed. Come on now. Colleges have these safe rooms now. Are you kidding me? Man, we were talking about what was going on over in Russia and Ukraine. Amen. And could you imagine if Russia was to come over here and face our soldiers, some of the transgenders that are going in and facing some of the softness of the men that we have in our military? I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but we haven't built men like we used to. Where men were men and they were able to operate in the right minds and not operate emotionally and operate in logic. Come on now. Brother Austin, that's offensive. Well, let's think reality here. This is right. Amen. Paul was telling Timothy, you're not thinking correctly. Brother Austin, you mean to tell me that when your son was in the NICU, you didn't have fear? Yeah, I did. I was afraid. I was very afraid. Well, how can you talk to me about this? And if you had fear in your heart, well, when that fear came into my heart, instead of just dwelling on those things, I didn't know what was happening for 2 days. Nobody came in to look at them. No idea what was going on. There was no test. There was nothing going on. No examinations, no nothing. For 2 days, I had no idea what was going on. The very first day that they sent us over there, yeah, I was overwhelmed. Fear gripped my heart. I got in that truck and started going to the camper to grab some stuff so I can go back to the hospital because I was going to stay the night with them. And as I was going down the road, I started crying. I said, Lord, I don't want to lose my son. I don't want to lose my son. And then I started to get my mind right. I said, Lord, naked I came into this world, naked shall I return thither. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm telling you, friend, fear grabbed a hold of my heart. I was crying so hard, I couldn't barely keep the truck on the road. I was having a hard time breathing. At one point in time, I started hyper. You're looking at me thinking, man, that's kind of crazy. But in all reality, that what was going through my mind. But as soon as I started praying, I felt the comfort and the liberty of the Holy Ghost come and overshadow my life. And what started happening? I started thinking spiritually. I started thinking right. I started thinking logically and said, Lord, if you take them, yes, I'll be sad. But if it's your will, this is what I want from my life. What I'm trying to say is this, friend, we need to think correctly.
Amen.
Do not be afraid of sudden fear. Don't give it any reverence. Don't even think about it. Don't even look its way, nor the desolation of the wicked when it is cometh. We are living in the desolation of the wicked. We cannot be afraid of what is going on around us. And if we were to be overcaptured by fear, every single one of us would be doomed by fear if we let it happen. But there needs to be men and women that stand up and say, I will not let fear rule my life. Fear is real and it happens. But as soon as fear comes up, we need to put fear in its place. Fear, you're a liar. You're going to cause me to think things I shouldn't be thinking. You're going to cause me to worry about things I don't need to be worrying about. You are a liar. Hallelujah. And I believe that there are people that are gathered in this place tonight that are dealing with irrational fears. Yes, there are very real situations that you're going through. Yes, there are very real dangers that you are facing. Yes, there are some very real hard times that you are going through. But let me tell you, friend, don't be caught up in sudden fear. Don't give it reverence. And the Bible tells us that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Get your mind on the Word of God and let God guide you. Fear. Every one of us has faced it. Every one of us has dealt with it to some degree or another. Every one of us. But it is not something that has been designed to rule us. It is not something that we're supposed to hold on to and grasp, because it will lead us astray. Amen. So my wife comes to the piano if she's able to. If not, you're not. Polly, if you could. Going over our lesson here tonight, how do we stay away from sudden fear? We need to hold on to God's wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Brother Austin, what are you talking about? This is what I'm saying. Like I was just saying earlier, when that boy was in the NICU, I had to hold on to God's wisdom and understand that if this is what he thought was best for me, then that's okay. I had to lean on to his understanding, knowing that he knows the future and I don't. And I had to lead on his knowledge that he knows what's best for me in this day and time. That's exactly right. So how do we deal with sudden fear? We need to hold on to his wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Let them not depart from thine eyes. What about the spirit of fear, Brother Austin? Well, we need to keep a sound mind. How do we do that? We do that by holding fast the form of sound words. Or simply, if you just read it in its simplest text, of good words. Informative words. Sound, rooted, grounded, tested, tried. Good words. But if we're not careful, whenever we start going through a hardship or depression starts coming into our lives, we will start being a magnet to others who are letting fear, depression, anxiety, and stress infiltrate their lives. All of a sudden, we'll start talking about words that are not sound, talking about those fears that are not legitimate, that are not real. Like I said, fears is one of those topics that are one of those things that are very touchy. If you talk to the wrong person, it can set them off. I promise you, friend, I didn't come to offend anybody. But I just come to tell people, listen, you're not supposed to live in fear. God's people are not supposed to be controlled by medication for anxiety and depression, stress and fear. Come on now. I will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. If everybody would stand. I don't have this down in my notes, but I feel like sharing this here. I don't know the story, some of you might, but there was a man that was asked one time to paint a picture of what peace was. So he got to thinking, goes to his art room, gets to painting. When they came up to him a little bit later, they said, what did you come up with? All of a sudden, he showed his picture that he painted there. And it was a picture of a mountainside that had a mama bird and two little birds singing a nest underneath of a hollow out in the mountain. And it was the worst storm that they were ever in. They said, how is that a picture of fear? Or excuse me, how is that a picture of peace? He said, in the middle of the storm, those birds have peace. I'm not saying that you will never have hard times or never face fear. But what I am saying is this. When adversity does come and the storm is raging, we can behead, we can hide in the cleft of the rock. We can have peace. And when they give you that phone call and say, I don't know if your boy's going to make it or not, you can have peace. Come on, friend. I'm talking about fear tonight. Or not having fear. God did not design for his church to have fear. It was never intended for them to have fear. Fear is a tool of the enemy. I'm going to ask you at this time. I know this church has been going through a lot. I know different individuals have been facing some things here recently. If you've not let fear overshadow your mind, that's wonderful. That's great. But you can still come and ask God to help you to continue on down the right path. So at this time, I'm going to ask the church, let's gather in and get a hold of God. And ask God to help us to not be afraid of the desolation of the wicked that is going on around us. And to not have the spirit of fear. But let us hold on to sound words, sound doctrine.